send us men whose age will be not to defend some ancient creed, but to live out the laws of Christ in every thought and word and deed. God send us men alert and quick, His lofty precepts to translate, until the laws of Christ become the laws and habits of the state.
Welcome to God Send Us Men Ministries with evangelist and missionary to America, Charlie Stewart. We challenge you to open your Bible and follow along with today's message. Prove all things, hold fast that which is good, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. To contact us or read and listen to more teachings online for free, visit GodSendUsMen.com. And now, here is evangelist and missionary to America, Charlie Stewart.
Started out like a canvas, and God started painting on me. But I took the paintbrush from Jesus. And I painted what I wished to see. The colors I painted kept running, and the objects were all out of sight. I had made a mess of my painting. My way now seemed so unwise. Then I gave my painting to Jesus, all the colors and all the pieces so wrong. In the markets of earth it was worthless, made my painting belong. He worked with no condemnation. He never mentioned all the mess I had made. Mount Calvary, and he signed it. All the price has been paid. When I gave the brush back to Jesus, when I gave the brush back to him, he started all over life's this canvas to fill. When I gave to Jesus the brush of my
good morning. Thank you again for tuning into the broadcast and for allowing me into your homes and into your lives today. As I said in my email yesterday, I've been a little under the weather this week, so pray for me and bear with me as we continue where we left off last week. I made a statement in my email about not wanting to make people mad and about not wanting to be offensive. And I want to clarify that with you for just a minute before we get started. And I'm not saying that I'm making people mad, and I'm not getting angry emails from people or anything like that, but I do just want to clarify the statement just a little. But my ministry, I guess no different than anything else about me, is a bit unique in that my goal is to get people who claim to be followers of Christ to understand what it truly means to be a follower of Christ. I'm trying to get people to understand that the kingdom of God is a present-day reality, that Christ is king right now, not just some spiritual king sitting up with no power and no authority other than something over just the spiritual realm. But then once they understand this, that they'll begin to see the implications of what this really means and will then change our lives, which in turn then will affect those around us, not just in our families, but in our communities as well. So I'm trying to reach those people who are already seeking. They're already trying to follow Christ. They know something's wrong, but they may not be able to figure out what the problem is. And I don't want to alienate those people. It's those people that I don't want to offend or make mad. Those are the ones I'm trying to reach. Now, I don't mind one bit offending or making mad those folks who are openly opposing Christ. That doesn't bother me at all. But for the one who's sincerely seeking Christ and sincerely wanting to follow the teachings of the scripture, that's who I'm trying to reach in my ministry. Now, I've been making the statement that if a man believes the book of Daniel is unfulfilled Bible prophecy, then he cannot believe that Jesus, that Yeshua, is the Messiah. In order, if you want to be scripturally correct, if you want to be on a solid biblical foundation, the two don't go hand in hand. Now, if you're one that believes that the book of Daniel is yet to be fulfilled, then I would encourage you to re-examine very closely why you believe this and how you came to that conclusion. I left the 501c3 government quote-unquote church many, many years ago. And that was after being raised in it, attending Bible camps sponsored by it, attending two Bible colleges ran by them, working in three different 501c3 quote-unquote ministries, and then attempting to minister as an evangelist to many more of them in hopes of reaching them and helping them see the errors of church incorporation. And when I left, I came to the conclusion that nearly every single thing I had ever learned about the Bible, about God, about Christ, nearly every single thing I had learned had to be re-examined to make sure that my beliefs were properly aligned with what the Word of God actually said. The false doctrine of church incorporation has been well presented to quote-unquote preachers in America now for over 30 years, maybe even more than that. And I'd find it very hard to believe that preachers, quote-unquote, and particularly those who would classify themselves as fundamentalists, have not been presented with the wickedness of corporate status, but they choose to stay in it because of the temporal financial beliefs, or I'm sorry, financial benefits that they receive from that status. To think that what these men teach about the scriptures should be depended on or relied on is an awful thought for me to consider. If these guys can't get this very basic elementary understanding right, then how can they possibly get anything else from the scriptures correct? And this is why I'm saying again, if what you believe about the scriptures has been shaped or molded in any way by a church man from the 501c3 government church, then you better carefully examine every single thing that you think you believe or that you know about the Word of God. I was on the phone with someone not long ago, and I don't even remember who it was, but I had mentioned something about corporations. And they said, well, I don't think the Mennonites are incorporated. And surely not. I mean, these are the Anabaptists, the most conservative of the conservative, the most separate of the separatists. And I'm not picking on the Mennonites today. That's not why I'm saying what I'm saying. I'm just telling you about the conversation that I had on the phone with this guy. So I did a little search on the internet, and I quickly found the Mennonite USA website. And I looked at the header links at the top of the homepage and saw a button called Give. Well, I clicked on it, and the very first statement is, quote, use our secure site to make a tax-deductible gift to Mennonite Church USA. Every dollar that you give helps to support the work of the denomination, blah, blah, blah. And again, I'm not picking on the Mennonites. You'll find that statement, such as this one, find statements just like this on almost every single quote-unquote church website where money is involved. And there are some religious groups out there that seem to be more sincere than others. But I'm telling you that if they can't even figure out that their ministries should not be government corporations receiving benefits from the government, how can we trust anything they have to say about the Word of God? So I said all that to say this, and again, where did you develop your beliefs concerning the book of Daniel? Who taught you that there are thousands of years between the first week of the 70 weeks of Daniel and the last week of the 70 weeks of Daniel? Because I certainly don't believe that anyone out there that comes to that conclusion simply by reading the text itself. Who told you that the command to, and the text says, build Jerusalem, not rebuild, build Jerusalem unto the Messiah, the Prince, was different than the plain text which teaches that that Cyrus was the one that gave that command. 2 Chronicles 36, Ezra 1 through 6, Isaiah 44 and 45. Who told you that this is something that was in the future and not already fulfilled? Friends, the false doctrine of futurism was born in the government-created quote-unquote churches, and its main purpose is to perpetuate the state which created the quote-unquote church. And by perpetuating the state, it has to, in order to stay in existence, it has to relegate the true kingdom of Christ to the future. Sure, they stand and preach, get up and sing, Jesus is King. But when you press them on those words, they'll ultimately tell you that what they really mean, and that is that he is a spiritual king now. He's only a spiritual king, but he's a coming king in the future. And that is the doctrine of the Jews. That is the synagogue of Satan. We will never accomplish anything of lasting value for the king and his kingdom until we understand that all Bible prophecy has been fulfilled and that his kingdom was fully and completely established at the end of the Old Covenant world in AD 70, and that in the New Covenant world, which began at AD 70, not only is he King of Kings and Lord of Lords, but he is the last of the kings God allows for his creation. Last week, we left off talking about Daniel 9:24, and the first of the six things that would be accomplished in the 70 weeks of Daniel, that being to finish the transgression. And I believe that is what was done when they finally killed the Lord Jesus and his saints of the first century. Before we go on and talk about the other five things mentioned, I'm not even sure we'll even get to any more of the other five things today, but there are some things about the book of Daniel that I'd like to address because I want to bring them to their fulfillment in the first century. And I'm going to show you these things directly from the writings of the New Testament, where we'll see without a doubt that the writings, other writings in the book of Daniel, receive their fulfillment in the first century. Go with me to Daniel chapter 2, and we'll begin in verse 1. And we'll try to make it through the whole chapter. I'm not sure if we will, but we'll try to make it through the whole chapter. And this is the famous chapter where Nebuchadnezzar has his dream, and Daniel's the only one who can tell him what it means. Verse 1. And in the second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar dreamed dreams, wherewith his spirit was troubled, and his sleep brake from him. Then the king commanded to call the magicians and the astrologers and the sorcerers and the Chaldeans for to show the king his dreams. So they came and stood before the king. And the king said unto them, I have dreamed a dream, and my spirit was troubled to know the dream. Then spake the Chaldeans to the king in Syriac, O king, live forever. Tell thy servants the dream, and we will show the interpretation. The king answered and said to the Chaldeans, the thing is gone from me. He says, I don't remember what it was. But if you will not make known unto me the dream with the interpretation thereof, ye shall be cut in pieces, and your houses shall be made a dunghill. What he's saying is, if you can't even tell me what the dream was, and you're certainly not going to tell me what the interpretation of the dream was. So he says, basically, you guys are nothing but a bunch of false prophets. Verse 6. But if you show the dream and the interpretation thereof, ye shall receive of me gifts and rewards and great honor. Therefore show me the dream and the interpretation thereof. And they answered again and said, let the king tell his servants the dream, and we will show thee the interpretation of it. The king answered and said, I know of certainty that ye would gain the time, because ye see the thing is gone from me. But if you will not make known unto me the dream, there is but one decree for you. For ye have prepared lying and corrupt words to speak before me, till the time be changed. Therefore tell me the dream, and I shall know that ye can show me the interpretation thereof. The Chaldeans answered before the king and said, there is not a man upon the earth that can show the king's matter. Therefore, there is no king, lord, nor ruler that asks such things as any magician or astrologer or Chaldean. And it is a rare thing that the king requireth, and there is none other that can show it before the king except the gods, whose dwelling is not with flesh. And for this cause the king was angry and furious, and commanded to destroy all the wise men of Babylon. And the decree went forth that the wise men should be slain, and they sought Daniel and his fellows to be slain. Then Daniel answered with counsel and wisdom to Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, which was gone forth to slay the wise men of Babylon. He answered and said to the king's captain, why is the decree so hasty from the king? Then Arioch made the thing known to Daniel. Now, here's a problem that we face today. The biggest reason why society today, for the greatest part, and it seems like that the evil agenda is advancing minute by minute, but the biggest reason why I believe that society today does not even believe that there's a God, let alone a God with law, let alone a God with a son who's the supreme ruler, but the reason that society has no belief today is because they believe that the government churchmen are the spokesmen of God. And if what they say are representative of what the Bible is, then most people today want nothing whatsoever to do with the Bible or with God. It's the proverbial throw the baby out with the bathwater. I mean, they look at some of these idiots on TV and the stuff they do there, and they look at that and they say, you people are nuts. If you're representatives of God, I want nothing whatsoever to do with you or with your God. So here's Daniel getting ready to be thrown out with the bathwater. And this is why every time I hear someone with an opinion that the quote unquote churchmen represent the God of heaven, I do everything I can to let people know that the truth of God's word, his son, his laws, and perfect will are as far apart from the quote unquote church as the east is from the west. The truth of the word of God is as far apart as night and day from what 501c3 government church is teaching people. And this is the same issue that Daniel had to deal with. Daniel found himself in the same situation. Hey, don't lump me in with those guys. I'm here to tell you about the real God of the Bible. I'm here to tell you about the real Jesus, the real Yeshua. Verse 16. Then Daniel went in and desired of the king that he would give him time and that he would show the king the interpretation. Then Daniel went to his house and made the thing known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions, that they would desire mercies of the God of heaven concerning this secret, that Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel answered and said, "Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. And he changeth the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding." All right, now we need to stop here for just a minute. There's something very important that I want to say in observation of the phrase, "He removeth kings and setteth up kings." This verse, verse 21, is, in my opinion, one of the most misapplied verses of Scripture in all of churchianity. It's what allows dictators and criminals and God-haters to be in positions of domination over men, and then gives them the false doctrine that God did it. God put them there. See, God put me in this position to plunder your wealth and kill your sons and daughters in my political wars. God put me here to tax you and to oppress you. Well, yes, in the old covenant world, Yahweh removed kings and set up kings. That's what the old world was all about. Those people wanted kings like all the other nations, so that's what they got. That's what happened in the old covenant world. In the new covenant world, he set up one king and one kingdom. His kingdom and his king are the only duly authorized governments in the world today. Anyone or anything else that's in place today is not in place because God has put them there. They're there because of their own rebellion, mainly because they had the most spending power, the biggest guns, or both, but out of rebellion to the only authorized government on earth today. They're in positions of dominance over the people in these ways, let me change the emphasis there. They're in positions of dominance over the people in these ways, not because God has put them there. We as the people have got to stop using the phrase "the powers that be" when discussing men's governments. They are not the powers that be, because the powers that be are ordained of God. And the only government ordained by God in the new covenant world is the government of King Yeshua over his father's kingdom, period. Donald Trump was not selected by Yahweh. The U.S. Constitution and the United States of America is not God ordained. They are in place out of rebellion to the king. They are not the powers that be. They are the principalities, the municipalities, that are in place to war against the king and his kingdom and to prevent any man, woman, boy, or girl who would seek to enter into his kingdom. The phrase "the powers that be" is a holy, H-O-L-Y, it's a holy designation that describes the kingdom of Christ. And if we use that phrase in reference to earthly governments, we're giving that which is holy to the dogs. God is not in the business today of setting up rulers in earthly governments. Out of rebellion, they set themselves up. Then the, quote, churchmen in the government-created corporations enable them to do what they do with the false doctrine that God sets them up today. It is the churchmen that tell people that their creators are ordained of God, whether they be evil or more evil than the next one. We've all heard the horror stories about the way the government treats people from time to time. For instance, one of the things they did lately was they broke down the door of a father and mother who had taken their sick child to the doctor because of a high fever Then when they didn't do what the doctor told them because the child's fever had subsided, so the urgency of the situation had passed, well, then the doctor called the cops. And then hours later, a SWAT team arrived and busted down the door and took not just the child who had been sick, but all the children, took them all away. Well, why do these cops act like thugs? Why do they act like terrorists? Well, it's because the, quote, churchmen have told these animals that they are ordained of God to be terrorists. He is a terror to the wicked. The wicked, then, being anyone who they think violates their statues or doesn't bow down and worship them. And they're terrorists because that's what the government church them has told them that God wants them to be. That's why they act like terrorists. That's why they act the way that they do. It's because the churchmen are telling them that they're supposed to be terrorists because God has ordained them to be so. And then sadly, many well-meaning and sincere seekers of truth are guilty of enabling these terrorists because they are called the, quote, powers that be. Back to the book of Daniel, verse 22. He revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with them. I thank thee and praise thee, O thou God of my fathers, who hast given me wisdom and might, and hast made known unto me now what we desired of thee. For thou hast now made known unto the king's matter. That right there is very interesting. Daniel says that God had gave him wisdom and might. Didn't give it to the king's other men because the king's other men were imposters. They weren't the real ones. Daniel was the real one. And God gave Daniel wisdom and might. Verse 24. Therefore Daniel went in unto Arioch, whom the king had ordained to destroy the wise men of Babylon. He went and said thus unto him, Destroy not the wise men of Babylon. Bring me in before the king, and I will show unto thee, unto the king the interpretation. Then Arioch brought in Daniel before the king in haste, and said thus unto him, I have found a man of the captives of Judah that will make known unto the king the interpretation. The king answered and said unto Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, Art thou able to make known unto me the dream which I have seen, and the interpretation thereof? And Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, The secret which the king hath demanded cannot the wise men, the astrologers, the magicians, the soothsayers show unto the king. So he's telling Nebuchadnezzar, your churchmen can't tell you the answers, because it's the God of heaven that has the answer, and your guys don't know him. Verse 28, But there is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets and maketh known to the king Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days. Now again, note that phrase, what shall be in the latter days. Thy dream and the visions of thy head upon thy bed are these. Verse 29, As for thee, O king, thy thoughts came into thy mind upon thy bed what should come to pass hereafter. And he that revealeth secrets maketh known to thee what shall come to pass. But as for me, this secret is not revealed to me for any wisdom that I have, more than any living, but for their sakes that shall make known the interpretation to the king, and that thou mightest know the thoughts of thy heart. Thou, O king, sawest, and behold a great image. This great image, whose brightness was excellent, stood before thee, and the form thereof was terrible. This image's head was of fine gold, his breast and his arms of silver, his belly and his thighs of brass, his legs of iron, his feet part of iron and part of clay. Thou sawest till that a stone was cut out without hands, which smote the image upon his feet that were of iron and clay, and brake them to pieces. Please keep this in mind closely. A stone that was cut out without hands, which smote the image and brake them to pieces. Verse 35. Then was the iron, the clay, the brass, the silver, and the gold broken to pieces together, and became like the chaff of the summer threshing floors. And the wind carried them away, that no place was found for them. And the stone that smote the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. Please remember this. The wind carried them away, that no place was found for them, and the stone that smote the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. Verse 36. This is the dream, and we will tell the interpretation thereof before the king. Thou, O King of kings, for the God of heaven hath given thee a kingdom, power and strength and glory. And wheresoever the children of men dwell, the beasts of the field and the fowls of the heaven hath he given into thine hand, and hath made thee ruler over them all. Thou art this head of gold. And after thee shall arise another kingdom inferior to thee, and another third kingdom of brass, which shall bear rule over all the earth. And the fourth kingdom shall be strong as iron, for as much as iron breaketh in pieces and subdueth all things, and as iron that breaketh all these, shall it break in pieces and bruise. And whereas thou sawest the feet and toes part of potter's clay, and part of iron, the kingdom shall be divided, but there shall be in it of the strength of the iron, for as much as thou sawest the iron mixed with miry clay. And as the toes of the feet were part of iron and part of clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly broken. And whereas thou sawest iron mixed with miry clay, they shall mingle themselves with seed of men, but they shall not cleave one to another, even as iron is not mixed with clay. Now, please keep in mind everything that we've just read. The latter days, the stone not made with hands, the mountain filling the whole earth, breaking in pieces, etc. And let's go on now to verse 44. And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. For as much as thou sawest that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that it break in pieces the iron, the brass, the clay, the silver, and the gold, the great God hath made known to the king what shall come to pass hereafter. And the dream is certain, and the interpretation thereof sure. Then the king Nebuchadnezzar fell upon his face and worshipped Daniel, and commanded that they should offer an oblation and sweet odors unto him. The king answered unto Daniel and said, Of a truth it is, that your God is a God of gods and a Lord of kings and a revealer of secrets, seeing thou couldest reveal the secret. Then the king made Daniel a great man and gave him many great gifts and made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon and chief of the governors over all the wise men of Babylon. Then Daniel requested the king, and he set Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego over the affairs of the province of Babylon. But Daniel sat in the gate of the king. Now, please turn with me to Matthew chapter 21, and we're going to begin in verse number 1. Matthew chapter 21, beginning in verse 1. And remembering all the while the things that we've just read here from Daniel chapter 2. Matthew 21, verse 1. And when they drew nigh unto Jerusalem, and were come to Bethphage under the Mount of Olives, then sent Jesus two disciples, saying unto them, Go into the village over against you, and straightway ye shall find an ass tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them unto me. And if any man say aught unto you, ye shall say, The Lord hath need of them. And straightway he will send them. All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, Tell ye the daughter of Sion, Behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek and sitting upon an ass, and a colt, the foal of an ass. And I'm telling you that this king right here in Matthew chapter 21 is the king of the kingdom that Daniel was talking about, that final, last, great kingdom that would be forever and ever. Verse 6, Matthew 21, And the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them, and brought the ass and the colt, and put on them their clothes, and they set him thereon. And a very great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees and strawed them in the way. And the multitudes that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he was come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, Who is this? And the multitude said, This is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. And Jesus went into the temple of God and cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves, and said unto them, It is written, My house shall be called the house of prayer. Once again, here's another fulfillment of Old Testament prophecies, and we've talked about this in the past. But ye have made it a den of thieves. And the blind and the lame man came to him in the temple, and he healed them. And when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying in the temple and saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were sore displeased, and said unto him, Hearest thou what these say? And Jesus saith unto them, Yea, have ye never read, Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings thou hast perfected praise? And he left them and went out of the city into Bethany, and he lodged there. Now in the morning as he returned unto the city, he hungered. And when he saw a fig tree in the way, he came to it and found nothing thereon, but leaves only, and said unto it, Let no fruit grow on thee henceforward forever. And presently the fig tree withered away. And when the disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, How soon is the fig tree withered away? And Jesus answered and said unto them, Verily I say unto you, if ye have faith and doubt not, ye shall not only do this which is done of the fig tree, but also if ye shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. And all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. And when he was come into the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came unto him as he was teaching, and said, By what authority doest thou these things? And who gave thee this authority? Same question being asked today by the false prophets, the false leaders. Who gave you the authority to do what you do? Verse 24, And Jesus answered and said unto them, I will ask you one thing, which if you tell me, I likewise will tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John, whence was it, from heaven or of men? And they reasoned with themselves, saying, If we shall say from heaven, he will say unto us, Why did you not believe him? But if we shall say of men, we fear the people, for all hold John as a prophet. And they answered Jesus and said, We cannot tell. And he said unto them, Neither tell I you by what authority I do these things. But what think ye? A certain man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, Son, go work today in my vineyard. He answered and said, I will not. But afterward he repented and went. And he came to the second and said likewise. And he answered and said, I go, sir, and went not. Whither of them twain did the will of his father? They say unto him, the first. Jesus saith unto them, Verily I say unto you, that the publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. For John came unto you in the way of righteousness, and ye believed him not. But the publicans and the harlots believed him. And ye, when ye had seen it, repented not afterward, that ye might believe him. Hear another parable. There was a certain householder which planted a vineyard, and hedged it round about, and digged a winepress in it, and built a tower, and let it out to husbandmen, and went into a far country. And when the time of the fruit drew near, he sent his servants to the husbandmen, that they might receive the fruits of it. And the husbandmen took his servants, and beat one, and killed another, and stoned another. And he sent other servants more than the first, and they did unto them likewise. But last of all, he sent unto them his son, saying, They will reverence my son. Now, folks, it doesn't take 4 years of Bible college and 2 years of seminary to know that he's telling a parable about himself. This is God. This is his son. Jesus is the son. God is the owner of the vineyard, saying that I'm going to send my son and they will reverence my son. But when the husbandmen saw the son, they said among themselves, This is the heir. Come, let us kill him and let us seize on his inheritance. And they caught him and cast him out of the vineyard and slew him. When the Lord thereof of the vineyard cometh, what will he do unto those husbandmen? They say unto him, He will miserably destroy those wicked men, and will let out his vineyard unto other husbandmen, which shall render him the fruits in their seasons. Jesus saith unto them, Did you never read in the scriptures, the stone which the builders rejected, the same has become the head of the corner. This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore say I unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you, and given to a nation bringing forth the fruits thereof. And whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken, but on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. This is exactly what Daniel was talking about in Daniel chapter 2. This is the final kingdom. This is the interpretation of the dream that Nebuchadnezzar had. And it's found right here in Matthew chapter 21 in the first century in the Lord Jesus, in Yeshua. He is the fulfillment of Daniel chapter 2, verse 45. And when the chief priests and Pharisees had heard his parables, they perceived that he spake of them. But when they sought to lay hands on him, they feared the multitude because they took him for a prophet. This is the kingdom of Christ. This is the fourth kingdom from Nebuchadnezzar's dream. Look to 1 Peter chapter 2, and we'll begin in verse 1. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Sion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. I'm telling you that he is the stone from Daniel chapter 2. It's his kingdom that Daniel is talking about in Daniel chapter 2. Verse 7, unto you therefore which believe he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Remember what Daniel chapter 2, verses 44 through 45. And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. For as much as thou sawest that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that it break in pieces the iron, the brass, the clay, the silver, and the gold. I'm telling you that Jesus Christ, Yeshua the Christ, is the stone from Nebuchadnezzar's dream. To those who claim that Jesus was the Messiah, we have been given the kingdom. We have the king. The stone that Daniel was talking about is King Jesus. It is King Yeshua. Hebrews chapter 12, beginning in verse 22. But ye are come unto Mount Sion. That's present tense. The writer was speaking to those people of the first century. You are come unto Mount Sion and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and ecclesia of the firstborn. That's talking about the kingdom. That is the kingdom. The general assembly and ecclesia is the kingdom, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and of the blood of sprinkling, that speaketh better things than that of Abel. See that ye refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth. But now he hath promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word, yet once more, signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Wherefore, we, receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. This is the kingdom that Daniel was talking about in Daniel chapter 2. And what we're reading from the New Testament are things that were occurring in the first century. It's not thousands and thousands of years in the future. The kingdom came. The fourth kingdom of Nebuchadnezzar's dream has a king, and it's Christ. And it came just like it was preached. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That meant in the very near future, not thousands and thousands and thousands of years later, or thousands and thousands of years later. The great history book, the book of Revelation, the book which the author said was concerning things which must shortly come to pass. The author of that book was told by the angel not to seal his book. Why? Because the time was at hand. In chapter 11 of that book, the author wrote the following, verse 15, and the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. This is exactly what Daniel was talking about in Daniel chapter 2. That's because Jesus, Yeshua, was the stone of Nebuchadnezzar's dream. That's because when his kingdom was set up, it crushed all the authority that God had given them in the old covenant world. Men no longer are allowed to set up kings like all the other nations, because he conquered them all and took back all their authority and their power. He took it all back. The kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. He is the one who is supreme in authority. He is now the only potentate, the only king. Anyone who operates under any other power than his does so as a usurper and as a rebellious minion. And anyone or anything who enables the rebellious ones are partakers in their rebellion. This is why the scripture commands to come out from among them and be ye separate. There is one government and one king that is duly ordained to be in existence today, and we must be about the king's business in telling everyone we know the truth of the present day reality of the kingdom of Christ. We absolutely know these things to be true because we see the fulfillments of the prophecies of Daniel fulfilled in the first century when the Messiah came. We know these things to be true because we read the same books that Daniel read, whereby he said he knew these things by the books. Friends, what you believe about Bible prophecy makes all the difference in the world. And don't you let anyone tell you otherwise. He was the Messiah because he fulfilled the book of Daniel. The book of Daniel, all of it, was fulfilled in Jesus, in Yeshua, in the first century. There is no biblical support for thousands of years between the start of the 70 weeks of Daniel and the end of the 70 weeks of Daniel. There are not thousands of years between the prophecy of the cross in Daniel chapter 9:24 and the prophecy of the crown in Daniel chapter 9 verses 24. It's the from the 501c3 government created churches that have come up with this doctrine of futurism, where they have inserted thousands of years between the cross and the crown. 501c3 government-created, controlled, and owned quote-unquote church is responsible for creating this huge gap between the cross and the crown. that the book of Daniel has been fulfilled, and the fulfillment of that book was about 490 years from the decree of Cyrus to build Jerusalem to the Messiah, the Prince, then Jesus, Yeshua, was the Messiah. If the building of Jerusalem, which is now more commonly called the rebuilding, if that's yet to be fulfilled, then Jesus, Yeshua, was not the Messiah. This is the Jews' religion. And again, I can't say it any nicer. I can't sugarcoat it. If you believe that the book of Daniel was not fulfilled in Jesus, that the book of Daniel was not fulfilled in Yeshua, then you are preaching the Jews' religion. The Jews today believe in physical Jerusalem. They believe in the physical temple. They believe in a coming Messiah. They do not believe that Jesus was the Messiah because they say the book of Daniel has not been fulfilled. All the evil governments that are in place everywhere today, not just in the U.S., but everywhere, are in place today because the people have believed a lie that because the book of Daniel and the book of Revelation are supposedly unfulfilled, that God has ordained men's governments to be in place today, whether they be evil or more evil. Notice I'm not saying whether they be good or evil. In the Old Covenant world, there were actually men's governments that were good. And I'm amazed at how churchianity has taken the book of Daniel and has caused most people and their organizations to point to Nebuchadnezzar's Babylon as some evil empire, and it was so evil, yet Daniel worked in it. And then they use that as an example to justify their worship of the U.S., when the reality is that the Babylon that Daniel worked in was, as far as men's governments are concerned, was an excellent model of obedience in the Old Covenant world. The example there is fantastic. And I challenge you to, again, because most of what we have learned from the Word of God has come from government preachers, go back and read about Babylon when Nebuchadnezzar was king. Sure, it started out pretty bad, but when Daniel was running the show and God's laws were being implemented, the end of those Bible texts is spectacular in the way it describes Nebuchadnezzar as a king in Babylon. But as good as that kingdom was, it still wasn't good enough because ultimately it was going to be replaced by inferior governments in fulfillment of Bible prophecy until that entire system would be destroyed and replaced with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The 501c churchmen have in almost every way turned the book of Daniel 180 degrees in the opposite direction from the truths that we should know from that book. And ultimately, the book of Daniel's greatest prophecy is the one that anoints Jesus Christ as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And we know, by the books, when that event occurred.
You've been listening to God Send Us Men Ministries with evangelist and missionary to America, Charlie Stewart. To contact us or to read and listen to more teachings online for free, visit godsendusmen.com.
We You are listening to Missouri Liberty Radio,